You're listening to the Fueled and Free podcast. I'm your host, Margaret, a holistic nutritionist, bringing you real talk and thought-provoking conversations on food, the wellness world, women's health topics, and life. Remember, the information shared in this podcast is not to be taken as individual or medical advice. Today's podcast guest is a force to reckon with. Kitty Bloomfield is from Australia. She is the co-founder of New Strength, which is an online-based nutrition and fitness program that helps women overhaul sluggish metabolisms through food and strength training. She's a leader in the metabolic space. She is a trip to follow on social media. Go look her up on Instagram. She's also the host of a well-ranked podcast called Weight Loss for Women and is partner in a company called Saturi, which is an Australia-based company that sells high-quality collagen supplements like beef liver and skincare. So initially, I brought Kitty on to talk about metabolic health stuff, weight loss for women, hormones. I thought it would be fun to just have her come on and chat back and forth. She's extremely entertaining to listen to talk to, and knows a lot about the things that she teaches. And I had prepared my kind of list of questions that I wanted to ask her, and the conversation just pivoted. It pivoted into a topic and an area that I think all of us can benefit from hearing. She shares her story of how she spent most of her adult life dieting, feeling at war with her body, trying to make her body smaller, not nourishing and fueling herself properly, and then shares how she stepped away from diet culture, the businesses that she's built, the brand that she's built. Again, Kitty is very successful at what she does and someone that I would consider to be a leader in the space. When you go on her social media and you listen to her podcast, she is a very strong, powerful, no-nonsense, does not mince words, cuts to the chase, direct, straightforward woman. And I really do respect that about her. But she gets very vulnerable and open on how she's been really working on stepping away from that masculine side of herself that feels like she constantly has to be doing something and achieving and pushing and, for lack of a better word, hustling. And she shares about her discovery into her more feminine side. This polarity of masculine versus feminine is definitely a topic I'm seeing talked about more. What does it mean to be more open and receiving? And how does this affect how we show up in our work, our relationships with our spouses, our identity as women? We talk about things like people pleasing and pleasure and sex and breath work, giving ourselves blank space and margin, even crying. I really appreciated her vulnerability and honesty, and it was just such a refreshing conversation. I actually filled up my Amazon cart with a few of the books that she shared with me that she's been reading, and I'm definitely planning to reach out to her coach that she's been working with. Her name is Greta. I'll link her info in the show notes, and who knows, maybe Greta will come on the podcast someday. So without further ado, disclaimer as well before I finish, Kitty drops a couple of F-bombs in the podcast episode. So it is an explicit episode. She does not hold back how she speaks, which I love and can appreciate. Does not bother me at all. But if you're sensitive to that, or if you have young children around, you may want to listen to this episode with headphones or play it at another time. But don't let that shy you away from listening to what was a really great conversation. So, Kitty, welcome to the Fueled and Free podcast. Thank you for being here. It's been a long time coming to have you on. And I started following Kitty a couple of years ago when I got into the holistic health space. And she's a trip to follow. So thank you.
That's a good way.
Being here. Yeah. You are. You're so fun to follow. You always have been. Great sense of humor.
Thanks.
Which I'm sure will come through on this episode.
Oh, thanks. Well, if you're not having fun, you know, if you can't laugh and just, you know, I feel like social media sometimes is so, like, sometimes, I mean, I think social media is great. You know, it's been great for our business and you connect with all these people over the world. But then on the other hand, it's so fucked sometimes. I just think, like, just people are mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, I don't know what your experience is, you know, I think, and then, There's good and bad things, I think, about social media.
Yeah, for sure. It can be quite a grind, especially when you're running a business and then using it to connect with people. It's you know, it's a little bit of a hamster wheel at times doing social media.
That's so true. But then there's just all the amazing people that you connect with too. The good and yeah, I think some of the women, they're just angry, you know, like they just need to eat a bit more food or some more carbs or sugar or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that. So I know your story very well. I'd love for you to share on here. I know you spent most of your adult life dieting, doing a lot of the fad diets, like many of us. I'd love for you to share how you got into what you do now. Where were you before versus where you are now? Because you have this huge platform. You've helped over 50,000 people with rebuilding metabolism. So that's kind of your niche that you do. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah. So I'm sure so many women will relate to this story because I feel, you know, I haven't done calls for a while, but when I used to do calls, you know, like women would get on going, oh my God, Kitty, I can just totally relate to your story and, you know, all the crazy things that you did. And, you know, I've been working actually recently with this emotional coach, and we've just been digging into some sort of like old bloody childhood wounding and, you know, body image things. And I think, you know, like a lot of women, I just grew up with this like poor body image and just thought if I could just be skinnier, then I'd be worthy of love. So that started all of these crazy diets, you know, I did fasting, all the shake diets, just thinking, you know, and it's a control thing as well. You know, like I remember when I got divorced, I just went crazy and just, you know, starved myself, drank so much alcohol, and I was so thin, and I just thought, if I could just be thin, then I'll be happy. But obviously I wasn't happy. And so, you know, I just cycled through years and years and years of diets, and I would, you know, restrict, and then I would, you know, could stay skinny. I mean, I've never been overweight. Like at my heaviest weight, I was 75 kilos and I'm 174 centimeters. So I've never been overweight. But I would just go through these periods of like, if I could have good willpower and stick to whatever crazy diet I was doing and get under 60 kilos, I'd be happy. And then eventually, you know, you just get exhausted and all the cravings, you know, you're just craving sugar, and I'd just fall off the wagon. Like I remember one time sitting outside the gym and eating 8 crunchy bars in one sitting. Like I would have ridiculous binges, you know, like I'd have these huge binges, and then I'd do stuff like the next day I would just eat protein only. I took Duramine. I took this drug where you, I don't know if you've got it in the States, but basically you poo out any fat that you eat. It was disgusting. So you do these disgusting poos with all this like orange greasy fat that would cut. It was gross. But just stuff like, I took a lot of drugs, you know, I think I like drugs too because it suppressed my appetite, so I could just stay really thin. Mm-hmm. And so I did that from about the age of 17 up till I was 34 when I got divorced, and I was seeing this, she's a kinesiologist, but sort of like a therapist. And we would always talk about nutrition because I was, you know, just always looking for that next fad diet. And I think I would tell myself it was to be healthy, but really it was just so that I could be skinny, you know, because I would just restrict. And I was like the sugar antichrist. And I'd tell my friend, you shouldn't eat sugar. Then I was secretly binge eating on the weekend, you know, hoeing into tubs of Ben and Jerry's and corn chips and things. So yeah, it was always for me so much is just rooted in body image and wanting to be thin, and just felt that if I was thin, then I would be loved more, which I'm sure a lot of women struggle with body image stuff. So anyway, I was seeing this therapist and we would always talk about nutrition. And I don't know how it came up, but maybe I was crapping on about green vegetables or something. I don't know. And she said to me, oh, you know, like women with thyroid issues shouldn't be eating a ton of raw green vegetables. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, shouldn't everyone just eat heaps of green vegetables because that's what's healthy? And she said, go and check out this guy, Dr. Ray Pete and Emma Skrakis, who's now my business partner in Saturay. So off I went and I read some of Ray's work, but it's really, I mean, I find it was hard for me to digest.
Yeah,
and I was reading through a lot of Emma's like blogs, and one in particular really stood out to me. And if you don't follow her and then go to her website, read her blogs, but it's called Defending Fruit and Other Non-Complex Carbohydrates. So like I wouldn't even eat fruit. So I was so anti-sugar. I wouldn't drink milk because it had too much sugar in it. So I used to like crush almonds and, you know, blend them with the water and make my own almond milk. I'd only eat blueberries because I was so low in sugar. So, you know, I read this article and I was like, oh my God, you know, maybe it's not that I'm weak, you know, I have all these cravings. It's actually because my body needs sugar and needs carbohydrates and I've been doing it wrong. You know, she was talking about bloody dairy and saturated fat and salt and
orange juice.
And I was like, I would never drink orange juice ever.
Same.
And I thought, this is all of the foods that I have demonized for so long, but yet I continually crave them and fall off the wagon. And it just was like all these light bulbs went off. And so I emailed her and said, I just have to work with you. Like, you have to take me on as a client. And she was in between babies. Like, she was pregnant with Oscar. So she does like 12-week programs. And I just worked with her before she went on maternity leave. And at the same time, I met Craig, who's my husband and business partner in New Strength. And so he was right into the strength training. And at the time, he was sort of into like bodybuilder type diet. So I converted him to this nutrition approach. I worked with Emma. Then he taught me how to strength train. And I'm just the sort of person who just goes all into stuff, you know. You know, she's like, oh, like, you know, do you want to drink some chocolate milk? Do you want to drink some orange juice? I was like, oh, fuck it. You know, I'm just going to do it all, eat all the food. You know, it's so amazing. And like, I had heaps of energy and I started to sleep through the night and I stopped binge eating. And I had, you know, prior to this, I'd had a miscarriage because I was married before this and, you know, I had terrible periods and my hair was falling out and all of these issues that so many women experience and everything just got better. And then, you know, I focused instead of like, because I used to just train so much, like I'd get up in the morning, fasted, and I'd drink some black coffee, catch the bus into the city, and then I'd do like an hour of weights, but not proper weight training. You know, right. Like I didn't know how to train properly. And then I'd do an hour of like super high intensity cardio, like 6 days a week. And then I'd have for breakfast, I'd have a quarter of a cup of oats and a protein shake with water and some blueberries.
Can you imagine? Training,
I can't now. Like, it makes me feel sick. And I remember how tiny I was and so many of the clothes I just wouldn't fit into anymore. And so what they basically taught me just transformed my health and my body and my relationship with food, because I love food. Like, if people follow me on Instagram, I'm constantly going, oh my God, I love this. I'm so obsessed with this. Like, I really just enjoy food so much.
Yeah.
And it was so nice to just repair that relationship and actually not being afraid of food anymore and know that I could eat carbohydrates and it was okay. And I got into powerlifting and I just loved that and went all in with that, of course. And then Craig and I opened New Strength, or gym New Strength. And then we did that for 3 years. And then we decided to create an online program to help women like me. And then we created Saturay with Emma, which is the skincare and the supplements. So,
yeah.
And we typically, because I'm 43. Oh, no, I'm not 43. I'm 43 in January. I keep saying that. I'm 43. Fuck it, you're 42. But we typically attract, you know, work with women in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
Who have done a lot of diets like me. Like, I'd get on calls. I'd be like, so tell me, what are the diets that you've done? And they're like, Kitty, maybe it's better I tell you what I haven't done. You know, like, same sort of thing. I said, look, just, you don't need to feel ashamed. Yeah. I've probably done it and done it 10 times worse, you know, and done crazy. I mean, I remember I ate tuna and apples once for 12 weeks straight because I was seeing this guy in Melbourne and I wanted to be skinny, like really skinny when I saw him. That's how fucked I was. Like, I was pretty, like the body image stuff was pretty bad. And I just cannot believe how little I used to eat for periods of time. And then I'd just binge, of course. And it was horrible. Like, it's the most horrible, like that obsession with food and hating your body and constantly thinking about what you can or can't eat. So, yeah, that's basically how I got into this. And I just feel so passionately about it because, you know, like once you do this and you nourish your body and you eat real food and you learn how to strength train, it just, your whole life gets better. You know, it's so that obsession.
You and I both know. You know, I had a similar transformation as well with the restriction and way under eating and low carb and black coffee, like very similar. And I remember having that transformative realization when I thought like, wow, I can actually drink milk or have an adrenal cocktail. Or I remember discovering the work of Dr. Rapide as well. I am curious for you, like when you went through this transformation, how did you signal to your body and your brain, like, okay, it's actually safe to eat these things, to someone listening that's low carb or over exercising or doing a lot of the restrictive eating and things like that, it probably sounds crazy to think like you can eat ice cream before bed and not, you know what I mean? Like the ice cream bowl that you shared on Instagram stories yesterday, you had like ice cream and banana
and the maple syrup
and maple syrup, right? And like go back to yourself, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you would never.
I was eating diet jelly for dessert. I'd eat. So my typical dinner would be like kangaroo.
Yeah.
Fucking salmon with a big steam plate of green vegetables like cabbage. I did used to put some coconut oil on it. So that was one good thing. And lots of salt.
Yeah.
I always ate a lot of salt, probably because I was so stressed. My body was like, oh, salt, salt, salt. But yeah, I'd eat that. Then I'd have the aeroplane diet jelly for dessert.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And so it's like, how did you change that, the mindset piece of this?
I think there's two parts to it. Like one, I just really, because I worked with Emma, so I just hammer her with questions, read all the information she sent me. So once I learned more about like basic human physiology, I was like, oh, okay. So like your cell's primary preferred fuel source is carbohydrates.
Carbohydrates.
Like, you know, your liver needs glucose to convert thyroid hormone.
Yep.
You know, like it's like, and people go, oh, but you know, like technically you can survive without carbohydrates. You know, that's a good argument because your body can make them. I'm like, what's a fucking stupid argument? I'm like, I'd rather, yes, you're right. You can survive, but don't you want to thrive?
Yes.
You know, like those, like the, your body can, you know, make glucose from protein and fat. You know, it has those, but that's like a stress mechanism. So it's like a backup fuel system. So if in times of emergencies, but you don't want to run off that all the time.
Right.
And I could also just see, I was like, well, you know, she said to me, perhaps your cravings aren't a sign of weakness, Kitty. Perhaps your cravings are your body's way of telling you that you need more fuel. So like, and I don't know whether she used this analogy or maybe it was Craig. They said, okay, so if you're going to drive your car to the other side of Australia and you only put half a tank of fuel in, what's going to happen? I was like, well, it's not gonna make it, right? Like it's just gonna conk out. So what happens when you don't put enough fuel in your body? You don't just die, right? So your body has these built-in mechanisms to help you survive when you don't have adequate fuel. So, you know, stress hormones rise, adrenaline and cortisol, and it breaks down other, what would you call it, like protein and fat, but other substances apart from glucose to create glucose.
Yeah, your tissues, you lose muscle mass.
Yeah, so that you can actually survive. And obviously, you know, like they're for emergencies. You're not meant to just constantly be running off these stress hormones because it's breaking down your body. You know, and if you do it for years and years and years, it affects your thyroid function, your sex hormone function, your digestion, because your body's basically like, well, fuck, I need to survive. So what are some things that I can downregulate? You know, and so many women like me, I was just like, oh man, I was just so sick of not sleeping.
Yeah.
I was so sick of feeling the way that I felt. I just thought, I read the information. I was like, okay, this is a bit scary because my whole life I've done this, but what's the definition of insanity? You know, doing the same thing over and over and over. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to follow the process and I'm going to trust this. And when I did start to eat more and I started to strength train and, you know, I started to feel better and all the cravings, like the binge eating stopped.
Did you gain a bunch of weight?
I actually did gain weight because I went hardcore with the powerlifting and the eating. So like I just ate like 3,000 calories. I got really strong. So I put on muscle. I put on a lot of muscle, but I put on body fat as well. So I think the key, and we can talk about this is why tracking the food is so, but I just didn't give a fuck back then. I was just like in the powerlifting community, it's not that I was fat, but I was at a higher body fat percentage, you know, you know, it's all about being as strong as possible. So, you know, I mean, I was sitting at a higher body fat level than I am now, but I also had more muscle. So I think at the time I just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that everyone should do this because not a lot of women would be happy if they put on a fair bit of body fat. But, you know, I think if you actually track your food and increase slowly, incorporate strength training, making sure that you're staying active, because a lot of women are really inactive too, and then they go and increase their calories exponentially. You know, then they're not getting 10,000 steps. They're not strength training. So, of course, you're going to put on body fat because these foods are delicious as well. And when you've been restricting for so long and you're like, you know, I mean, I was on Survivor. People probably seen I was on Survivor. So I lost 7 kilos. I lost my period for 12 weeks. It was so bad. And when I got into the jury villa, so I made it, I came sick. So I got far enough in to get into the jury villa. I just binged hardcore for a week, like every day. Cause I'd try and have a good breakfast with what they had. So I'd scramble up eggs. I'd just eat the shitty bread. I'd eat heaps of fruit, you know, whatever they had. But still, like, because wow. they filled the villa with like chips and chocolate and biscuits every day.
Oh,
and I'd get to the afternoon, I'd be like, oh man, I've done it again. You know, I thought, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to do this for a week. I'm just going to let myself eat and just eat the shit Maltesers and the corn chips and all the shit, you know, because I'm just hungry. I'm just hungry.
Yeah, you're just needing food.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let myself do it for a week. And I did it. And it took me a few weeks to, even when I got home of eating my normal food, to get back to the point where I was like, I didn't want to binge eat anymore. So just like that was severe restriction. So you can just see why women binge eat, because they have done this for so long. But eventually, I think what happens when you're eating enough for long enough and you're satisfied and you're healthy, you just don't binge eat anymore. Because you know too that you like every day you can eat delicious food. You know, like my breakfast at the moment is I love sourdough crumpets with egg and cheese. I have this hot sauce. Sometimes I have jam and butter, fruit, whatever fruit that I like, collagen in my coffee with maple syrup, you know. We've got a bit of an obsession with tacos at the moment. So we've had tacos, spaghetti bolognese, just, you know, like you can, my lunch, I'm having this beautiful lamb neck stew with air fried potato chips cooked in lard, and they are the best. They just taste like fish and chips with, you know, a bowl of fruit or some juice. So every day I just really look forward to my meal. So it's not like I'm ever thinking, oh, and I want some chocolate, you know, I eat a bit of chocolate, but we have blocks of chocolate sitting in the house, ice cream.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah,
you can just have that. I have that bowl of it at night. You know, and it's not a big deal anymore.
Yeah, it's not like only once a week you have a cheat meal anymore. That whole mindset's done.
It's done. You get to eat this ridiculously delicious food every day. Like, I just love, like, whenever I drink juice, Craig's always laughs at me. I'm like, oh, I just love juice.
Right?
I just love juice so much.
A good orange juice. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's the best. It's the best.
What is it?
Yeah. I feel like that about milk. So we get, you know, I don't know if you do raw milk in Australia. Do you do raw milk in Australia?
So it's illegal, but you can buy it from like the health, like some organic stores. And it's so expensive though, like $13 for 2 liters. It's super expensive, but it's delicious.
It's delicious. And it still floors me that I can like drink that and not have stomach issues like I used to. Cause same thing. I used to do like the almond milk and the.
It's the same.
The coconut milk, which I don't mind coconut milk.
Soy milk. Yes. I should drink soy milk. I mean, I was diagnosed. My mom took me, I don't know why, I can't remember, but took me to this naturopath when I was 12. And she's like, oh, you're lactose intolerant. Mm-hmm. So from the age of 12 to like I met Emma at 34, I ate soy cheese, soy milk, nut milks. It was so shit. So, and my mom just, you know, my mom didn't know. She was just doing the best shit that she could. And then when I met Emma, when my digestion improved and my overall health and metabolism and thyroid health improved, now I eat heaps of dairy with no problems.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the power of fueling your body with the right foods. So I would love to hear a little bit, not just from me, I'm sure other people listening, but I also am super curious. What does your daily and weekly gym routine look like? Because you're eating a lot of food based on what you shared. So I know that you're super physically active, and that's something that you really, really push in your program is the strength training.
Remember when you look at me too, you know, like I'm strong.
Very.
And I train hard and I'm active. Like I'm naturally just because I walk the dogs quite a lot. So I'd probably average between 10 to 15,000 steps a day.
Mm-hmm.
Most days. And then I train 4 days a week. And so my current split, and not, again, I'm not saying that this is the right split. This is just what I enjoy. And what works for me is I do 2 lower body days, 2 upper body days. And also too, like, because I'm so advanced now and I just have a lot of muscle, I actually just do less and I don't train as hard now because it's, I think, and we can talk about this too, you know, like one of the reasons that I see women probably not making the progress that they want in the gym is it's their exercise selection, their execution, and then they're not pushing it close to or to muscular failure. So when you get obviously quite strong and you're good at the movement, your execution is on point, they're much more stimulating and you're lifting much more weight. So you don't need as much to maintain it, which is cool. So I think once you build this foundation, the maintenance of it, you can actually do less. Like I think Craig told me a third of the volume.
Oh, wow.
So it's not like, you know, like a lot of women will be like, oh, Kitty, you're so, I mean, look, I've competed in powerlifting and I'm quite advanced. So I don't think you don't need to look at me or, you know, think you'd want to get there if you want, but you just have to get stronger than you are. I think like a lot of women underestimate how strong they need to get to like put on muscle, but it's all relative. And, you know, obviously it's a slow process too. Sorry, I went a bit off track there with your question.
No, you're good. You're good. It's helpful. I love it.
Yeah. So that's my, and I find typically most women in the program train 3 to 4 days, and that's good. Not, again, I'm not saying you can't train 5 days. Mm-hmm. Some women in our program train 5 days, but more is not necessarily better. I think, you know, it's training smarter. So like exercise selection, is my technique dialed in and efficient? You know, am I going through the full range of motion? Because a lot of women, they can't push the sets to failure because their technique isn't good enough.
Yeah.
So they're not making that progress. So I think the technique's super important. But yeah, like again, a few women in our program train 5 days. But I just find most women seem to do well on 3 to 4 days a week.
And then in between the training days, are you pushing like any sort of cardio or are you just pushing people to walk?
So I walk. I just walk every day. And then I actually do, and if people listen to my podcast, I did a episode with one of my friends, Libby, which I'm sure people will be familiar. She's in the probiotic space and we did it all about cardio. So where I feel like a lot of women go wrong with cardio, and I've had this with my sister because I've been trying to get her into the strength training for years and finally she succumbed. But what she does is she just flogs herself on the treadmill for like half an hour every single day, like getting her heart rate into those higher zones, so that 3 and 4, which is quite stressful. So, and listen to the podcast because Libby will dive into it in more detail. But, you know, I will do usually once a week. You see the stepper just because I like the cross trainer. Sorry. It's just easy and it's low impact because I fucking hate running. But I do like just a 45-minute zone 2 cardio session. I think too, if you like sprinting, you could do a sprinting session once a week, you know, a couple of those. So I just really like it because I like sweating and it helps with recovery. And if I'm sore from training, if I've pushed really hard. So I think, you know, I say to women like, because a lot of women are really busy. So we try and get them, look, let's look at tracking the food, prepping the meals. Let's get some strength training in. Then, you know, maybe you might want to look at doing some cardio. So just slowly like building things in that fit into their lifestyle. So I think it's just, you know, like what you enjoy, what works for you, but definitely strength training, like include that, because I feel a lot of women are just hammering themselves with this like higher intensity cardio and they're not actually doing any strength training.
Yeah.
So
I have a hypothesis on why that is. I think with the rise of like Peloton and there's all of these different, I have a Peloton bike and I really do like it. But when you get the Peloton bike, you get access to their app. And on their app, they have this whole library of, you know, different strength training classes and Pilates and yoga, like all kinds of different classes. And they market it towards women like you and I that are busy and don't have a lot of time. And they're like, press play. And there's a cute playlist synced up and it's fun and it's 30 minutes. And you and I both know that a 30-minute quote unquote strength training class where you're doing, you know, a couple of punches with a dumbbell and if you know what I mean, like a few lunges.
I used
with
to
like
do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not heavy enough.
Not heavy enough. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
And it's convenient because like, yeah, you can roll these dumbbells out from underneath your couch and you can throw a little band around your legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like roll out a yoga mat and like check it off. Okay. I did my workout. It's done. And that I feel like keeps women, I don't know if you would agree, but I feel like it keeps women stuck in like not actually growing muscle.
Totally. Yeah. Cause you can convince that that's what's going to change your body.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's mechanical tension and progressive overload. I always really struggle to articulate or explain what mechanical tension is. I find it difficult. Like Craig and I talk about this all the time. Like, would you explain it in simple terms? And I think it's like how I think about it is like it's the process of your muscles working against a weight. And so in order for you to build muscle, like you can, and I think we talked about this for the podcast, like you can actually build muscle anywhere between the 5 to 30 rep range. You can, right? But you have to pick a weight where you're failing at that range. So the issue is like 30 reps. It's sort of like the last five reps are the effective reps, right? That where you're reaching that failure. So there's just so much fatigue that you need to build up. It's just an inefficient way, really. But also like if you just, you can't see what I'm doing, but like the people on the podcast, like you're lifting a 5 kilo weight, like, you know, squatting it, it's, you're just not reaching that failure point. It's not heavy enough. So it's not going to give your muscles the stimulus to actually grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like when you, and I feel like women are like, oh, but I don't want to get really muscly. It's really hard. It's hard. Like, it's hard to put on muscle. I think yes. If you just actually get stronger, like you go into the gym and you learn how to lift and you put some muscle on, you'll be surprised at how much, especially if you're losing the body fat at the same time, like body recomping, your body's just going to look so much better
mm-hmm.
and more toned. So I think it's, they're just selling you this pipe dream. Like it's just not going to get you the body that you want. And I've done it too. Like I did all the RPM. I don't know if you have that in the US, but it's like this pump class, not RPM, mm-hmm. sorry, pump, body pump. Same thing. You'd just be squatting, lightweight, never reaching that failure point. It's not heavy enough.
Right.
Yeah. So I think, and this was probably going to be a question, but you know, like, yes, technically you can build muscle in 5 to 30 reps, but we typically would, or I would train in the 5 to 8, maybe 9, even 10 rep range for the sort of bigger compound lifts. And then maybe sometimes up to 12 or high, a little bit higher with like, you know, maybe biceps, because sometimes doing an increment is of the 2.5 is too heavy, you know, but picking a weight where you fail at 8 reps. So the last rep, you should not be able to get another rep with good form.
Yeah.
That's pushing it to that failure. And I think, you know, technically you can do it within a few reps of failure, but I just don't feel like many women actually know how to train to true failure until you get a bit more advanced, mm-hmm. you know, and you're just not lifting the weight and your technique's not that great. So, you know, I always, yeah, you just got to lift heavier weights. But heavy, again, heavy is relative to the person. So I think, you know, sometimes women will look at me and be like, oh, fuck, she's, but remember, 5 kilos to start with will be heavy to you for say, right. You might only be able to get out 8 reps. Like maybe you can deadlift 40 kilos, 8 reps, but over time, you know, you will progress and be able to add more weight to the bar. So, you know, you will start off lighter and then it will get progressively heavier over time and you will get stronger. And I think too, women, I think they really underestimate what they can do. You know, they're really more capable of much more than they think. You know, like they come into a room like, oh, Kitty, I'm so scared about going to the gym. I totally get that. It's new. You don't know what you're doing. You feel like everyone's looking at you, but no one's looking at you. They're just too busy checking themselves out. But once you actually learn the technique and you get past that initial, I'm scared and everyone's looking at me, you'll be surprised at what you can do. You know, like women deadlifting 100 kilos, they're like, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, it is. When you do a big, heavy hip thrust and you're like, what?
Yeah,
the first time I hip thrusted, I a couple hundred pounds, I was like, I had never done hip thrusts before. And I was able, I forget what I had racked, but I was like, I felt incredible, you know, more than my own body weight on a barbell. And you thrust it up and you're like, I'm such a badass.
Yeah. What is it? And just feel, just transfer. I mean, I don't have kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we were moving, I could bend down, pick up boxes, didn't get sore. You know, you just so much more feel capable. Just to everyday life, like bringing in the shopping bags from the car, picking up your kids, you know, it's just, it's amazing.
So what do you say to the person that is bored with weightlifting? I will admit, I love to lift, but I definitely have cycles where I'm like, I don't want to do it. It's boring. I think about just going to a fitness class because someone tells me what to do at a fitness class.
Mm.
How do you make it more fun?
I just personally feel very excited by the progression of the weight.
Yeah.
Like what I've done now in my training, because I'm sort of like Amy and I were talking about, Amy Bowers, another, you probably people will know who she is, and she's pretty advanced too. And it's just, in order for me to progress more now, like I'd really have to be disciplined and really disciplined with the food, heavy heart. And I'm just, it's too, like we're our stage of life. I mean, I'm 40, not saying you can't do it, but like businesses are busy. You know, you just like, I just don't have the energy to really commit what I need to, and why do I need to do it? Like,
right.
What I'll do sometimes is just like in a training block, just pick one exercise that I want to really progress and just focus on that. You know, like I wanted to get up, like my hack squat, for example. And if everything else stays relatively the same, I don't mind. But But for me, it's just the excitement is the I find the progression, like focusing on like even if you just pick one exercise in your program, going really like what would be cool? Like imagine if I could barbell hip thrust 250 pounds, you know? But I think, look, fuck, if you want to go and do one class, you know, every now and then, that's not going to kill you.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
You know,
agree.
Like yeah. If you're like, you know, and I agree, sometimes it does get, you know, the lifting can get like that. And I just sort of remind myself like, and I don't always have to do PBs either. Like sometimes I'm just like, I'm just going to go into the gym and train for the movement and I know I'm going to feel good after and I may not progress today, mm-hmm. but it's just good for me. Maybe you need to change up your program. You know, but I think yeah. that's pretty normal though sometimes. Like we all go through it. And there's sometimes I'll skip training, I'll be tired. You know, I'm not 100% perfect all the time either. And I think that's pretty normal too. But obviously yeah. like you have to have some like relative consistency at the beginning to actually make progress. Yeah. But maybe just I think remind yourself of why you're doing it. And I always feel better after I go.
Oh,
even if
absolutely.
I do a session where I don't make like any progress, I'm just like, just going through the movements feels good, like moving my body. And maybe you can just go to the session and just give yourself permission, like I'm not going to make progress today, like that's okay,
right?
I'm just going to do the session, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that really helped.
No. Showing up is half the battle for a lot of us. Yeah. Just actually getting there and showing up. So do you encourage people to just get a gym membership at this point versus trying to work out at home?
Unless you can get a solid like setup. And if you go to our podcast, Craig and I actually did a podcast. I think it's episode 185, how to set up a home gym for 3 to 5K, which is pretty cheap. So we set up one up for our ops manager who couldn't go to the gym anymore because the kids were in school. And so like there's this multi-station thing. Anyway, we just talked through what you could get for relatively cheap because I think the issue is when you've got limited equipment at home, like you'd at least need like a squat rack, a barbell, mm-hmm. weight plates, dumbbells, a bench. However, like back squatting is a very technical movement that you need. It's very skill-based, right? So versus say like you get on a hack squat at the gym. Like at the gym, you've got a lot more machines. You've got a lot more equipment that you've got access to. So when you're learning, we find you know, like you just, unless you really want to learn how to like low bar back squat, of course you can, but just putting in some of these machine movements like hack squats and leg press and, you know, you can, you know, barbell hip thrust and all these other, like you've just got access to more equipment. And I just think when you're learning, it's just easier because like, for example, hack squatting, there's a lot less, like there's no stability really. It's much easier to get the technique right, which means you'll be able to put more weight on, push it closer to failure. It's pretty hard to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas trying to, like I've competed in powerlifting, like squatting it's hard. There's a yep. lot to think about. It's taxing, especially when you get to the hip. Not saying again that you shouldn't squat. Bench pressing again is another movement that's more difficult. So I just think if you can, I think joining a gym when you're learning is just better. You just got to get over that fear of, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing and people looking at me. But honestly, like no one's looking at you. They aren't.
I actually think too, it's faster yeah. to work out at the gym and do all those movements yeah. you just described versus doing it at home in a home gym. I have a pretty legit home gym set up here. We have like a squat rack and a rower and barbell and plates and lots of weights. And exactly what you described of like, if I really want to push to failure on a back squat, I have to make sure that that I have catch bars there to grab my barbell in case I drop it. And you have to be fully mentally in the zone to get ready to squat totally. Down and make sure, yep. you know, otherwise like, yeah, you risk injuring yourself or just getting at the bottom of a squat and not being able to stand up. And then you have to drop the barbell and with you, when you have a machine, that's not even something you're remotely worried about. And the big mental side, like you described of, you know, pushing yourself to failure is so much, it's not a thing when you're on a machine, I think.
It's just easier, I agree. Because all the stability and the technical aspect, because a lot of you think your brain power is like, when you're squatting, there's a lot to think about. Like it is a very technical movement, like the breathing, the bracing, the hip stability, going, getting to depth. And then like as you're fatiguing, you still got to think about all that shit. You know, whereas on a hack squat, like it's not, even if you fail too, like it's just not that stressful failing on a hack squat or a leg press or, you know, and even the machines when you're pressing, you know, it's just less to think about. Yeah. And it just, unless you've got like, I just really think it takes a long time to learn how to squat. Like it, unless you're going to get coached by someone. You know, deadlifting's different. Like deadlifting, I think, is a much less technical exercise. Like you just have to really basically, I mean, there is skill involved, but stand up with the fucking bar, really. It's not like squatting. But you're just also limited with the stuff that you can do unless you've got a decent setup at home.
Yeah.
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 So I just always say to him, like, look, unless it's totally out of the question, like you live an hour away or something, I'm like, just join the gym. Just
join the gym.
It'll be easier for you. Trust me. Just trust me.
So what are some of your non-negotiables in your daily routine, daily life? Because you've have your hands in multiple businesses, lots of students and clients going through your programs, the supplements, the skincare. What does your day-to-day routine look like? What are some of the things that you're like, I have to do this for myself or for my health every single day? Non-negotiable.
So with the food, like I always will do some food prep on the weekend, always, you know, like this week, and usually I eat the same. I'm not saying that you have to do this, but like for me, it's just easy. I'll eat the same lunch for a week. So I just am addicted to lamb neck stew at the moment because it's rainy. So I just made a big batch of that, portioned up in little containers. And then we've been having it with these air fryer chips for lunch and fruit. So I just peel the potatoes the night before, pull one out of the freezer, and then all I have to do is whack them on in the day. I've got the fruit. I know what I'm having for breakfast. I just have the sourdough muffin. I have banana and orange, the coffee. That's really simple and easy. And I plan out, you know, like what are the dinners we're going to have? So we're going to have tacos two nights. So I've made spaghetti. We have spaghetti two nights. And I think we're having these lamb kofta ball things with rice. So I'll always do some sort of food prep because I just know if I just don't eat and fuel my body, I just can't train. I can't think. I can't just feel good. So that's a non-negotiable. I have been working with, like I said, this emotional coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have sort of shared bits and pieces of this on other podcasts, but I came back from Survivor and I just realized I was like, it was actually pretty life-changing for me.
Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Well, I won't go into the full details of it yet because I feel like it's part things to do with my relationship as well. And Craig and I have done a lot of work together, which has been amazing for us. But I think there was some just like things that I was doing, you know, like I've always had this drive to succeed and be successful. And, you know, like even though I'd done a lot of really great things, like I'd found strength training, like I eat a lot of food, you know, there's still this underlying, like, it's just push, push, push all the time. And I mean, I'm lucky that I found this program eating strength training. I think if I was still pushing how I used to push, I probably would have got sick. But because I was supporting my body, it was helping me. But I think working with Greta, I realized that this pushing all the time was because I just needed to prove to myself that I was enough, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so we really have dug into that and some childhood stuff and really worked on through a lot of stuff. And it's helped my relationship and a lot of it has been like slowing down a bit. And just because she's like, you are busy all the time so that you don't have to face these deeper things, which I've realized, fuck, I've cried a lot. But one of the things we've been working on too is just like I've been doing breath work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So like 5 days a week, like she's like, well, what would the perfect day look like to you? Because we've got a good team now. So like, you know, we've got people to help with social media. And she's like, why? Like, just I want you to practice slowing down and, you know, taking action from a place of alignment rather than fear.
Yeah.
That if you don't keep doing this, that you're not enough because the businesses, you know, you fixed your fucking body. You built this body. You got the husband. You've built the businesses. But are you still not enough? Still not enough, you know?
Right, right. Like, what's next?
And she's like, I don't want you to think that it's a bad thing, like this masculine, like I've really cultivated this masculine side of myself. She goes, it's helped you build these amazing businesses, but now we can, you know, start to cultivate more of the feminine. It's been incredible, actually. Like Craig and I have really been learning about polarity and then the masculine, the feminine. And he's like, I'm softening more and relaxing and doing less.
Yeah.
But the businesses are still doing great because I think like I'm more focused and not before for me, like control, I always had to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
But because, man, I was safe. And so just she's like relaxing a bit more, relinquishing a bit more control. You know, Craig's doing you know, taking more leadership, and I'm just sort of relaxed. I mean, I'm still obviously involved in the business, it's a partnership, but just practicing, you know, so like the breath work, doing the breath work every day, and really like I had to force myself at the start to do it. It's hard for me.
It's so hard. I've done lots of breath work too. It is still so hard to do.
It is. And like just practicing that tapping, getting into the EFT tapping, expressing my emotions, crying. Like I think what I've, and this is stuff just from your parents that we learned from our parents, is like I would invalidate my emotions in a way, you know, like I would feel a certain way and go, oh, but you know, I feel bad for feeling like that. And that's, you know, she's like, you need to just learn to feel, it's okay. Like you can have these emotions and cry. So it's been this crazy ass journey for 6 months, but it's been awesome. So like just for me, you know, in the bedtime routine, getting off, you know, Instagram and slowing down a bit more, and Craig and I like really sitting down at night, and because I really like cooking. So like me cooking something nice for us, and us really sitting down and having like we talk more, you know, doing the red light before bed, reading a book, just trying to slow down a bit more, not feeling like I always have to be doing something and productive. So that's been challenging for me too. And we're still peeling back the layers of the onion, you know, and still like I feel too, like even more recently, you know, Greta said, you've done a lot of great things with the body image stuff. Like you found a healthy way, you know, lifting, you've the food, you've nourished your body, you fix a lot of your health issues. But it's interesting as we peel back the layers of the onion, there's still shit there with the body image.
Yeah.
Like there's still, you know, like, and it's just continually just working on it. So yeah, the food stuff, you know, just doing the breath work, like on the weekends too. She's like, I just want you to do some stuff that you enjoy, not for any reason, like not for the reason of achieving something or being, you know, like learning a skill or whatever. She's like, what do you, because I really like cooking. Like I just really enjoy cooking. So she's like, just cook some fucking food and enjoy it. Like just read your book. Like it's okay to do, spend some time just doing things. You don't have to be achieving all the time, basically.
Yeah. So, I think that's something that a lot of people listening will for sure relate to. And, you know, even if it's not going back to achieving, there's also the flip side of it of like just always doing things for other people. Like some of us that might be listening struggle with being
people pleasing.
People pleasing. It's very, people pleasing is very similar to being achievement oriented, because it is rooted in like feeling like you're not doing enough or being good enough. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I see a lot of women struggle with, where you know, you get to the end of the week and Saturday, Sunday rolls around and there's just, you look back on your 7 days that you just finished and you did nothing restorative or fun or anything that instills play too.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's so like been hard for me, like undoing years of programming and, you know, like just this thing of like not being enough. I'm like, oh my God, like it's just, it's crazy. And I'm a people pleaser too. Like I just was doing all of these things and we've, you know, I feel like what's really worked is like we've gotten to the core, like what's the wound? What's the thing that's happened to you that makes you do all this stuff, facing that? Like I remember doing sessions with her, just sobbing, like so, like in like hysterically sobbing that I'm not enough.
Yeah,
you know, going back to it. Yeah, like I would just drink and I would have sex. I reckon when I was younger, like I just looked for validation through men and sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just had so many one night stands and so many like just, it was crazy. And just thinking about that and how I treated my body and didn't respect myself, and you know, and then so like going back, forgiving myself, you know, looking at why I did it, you know, feeling that emotion, tapping into it, facing it, and then making decisions, you know, like going, okay, who is it that I want to become? Starting to like, you know, you say like, stop saying yes to things that you don't want to fucking do.
Yeah.
It's hard at the start.
It's really hard. I have a little mantra and I don't always follow it, but I say, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no.
Greta says that too. Yeah. And it's so hard. I think women, like I don't even have kids.
Yeah.
But like just do everything for everyone else. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, as I'm getting old, like I'm 40, nearly 43, I feel, obviously I still feel the drive. Like I have this, I love helping women. Like I really love our business. Like I love working with Emma, my business partner, and creating these like skincare, like creating all this stuff. It's fun and it's exciting. But I just don't have that drive anymore to grind it out like I used to. Like we used to fucking grind. But then I'm like, oh, maybe. Like you do have to, like if you want to build something that you have to do, have to put more in. But then now I'm like, well, like I still want to grow our business and we're still like we're building this app, this new app. We're launching this new group coaching program because not everyone can afford like the one-on-one coaching.
Yeah.
So Craig's been building this incredible app. So it's like you track all your food in there. You can do your check-ins, you know, check all the metabolic markers, and then it's going to have the built-in training app where we can customize your program, full exercise videos, like we're going to have group coaching. So it'll be way more affordable to people. And so we're really excited about launching that, you know, but I found that I'm a bit less like, okay, we have to get every, like I won't work myself into the ground anymore because yeah. You're sort of like, obviously I am driven and I want to help women and I want to build our businesses, but it's like at what expense you sort of start to go like, oh, it's not worth it. It's not worth just running yourself into the ground.
Yeah, I totally feel that. And especially when you have a business that's based on having to show up on social media. And I know you have a big podcast that you run. Like, yes, your business is the coaching side and the skincare, but Instagram's a business and podcasting. And
totally, isn't it?
It's like, yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. I totally get that.
And I don't even have kids. Think about women who have kids like you. I think, oh my God, how do you balance it all?
Some weeks are more balanced than others. You know, I do feel like, and I was thinking about this the other day, you know, I made a comment to, a good friend of mine that also is really into fitness and lifting and all that. And I was like, I feel like I'm able to put in mediocre efforts right now into my physical fitness and I'm getting mediocre results. And I'm at that place where I'm like, okay. Business is here, the physical fitness and my nutrition and like the health habits and all those things are like mediocre effort right now. And that's just how it is, where it's like one foot's on the pedal for this and the other foot's on the brakes for that a little bit. And there is a bit of an ebb and flow. I don't think it's possible to be fully like dialed in on your business and showing up for your marriage, having the energy and the bandwidth to have sex with your husband multiple times a week.
And just even on that, you know, like
right?
We've realized like we've gone through like a crazy 6 months of growth, like both of us, and there's a lot of old patterns and things we've had to like.
How has that changed your sex life? Has it improved it?
I feel like we've got having the best sex we've ever had.
I bet. Yeah.
Because I really understand polarity now. Like I think because I have been so masculine for so long and I've had like a fucking 6 month boot camp in this shit, like just, you know, softening. And like, it's not about, I think, you know, Greta always said to me, you're finding your balance of the masculine and feminine. And yeah, you can in your business, like you're probably a bit more masculine and you're in that thinking brain, your business partners with Craig. But then when you step out of that softening, and just how you're speaking to him and communicating. And I've just noticed like when we are doing it well, there's the chemistry is so much better between us and the sex is so much better. And when we have these, like we've gotten so much better at like opening up and sharing in these, like going deeper, like we're going deeper and that makes the sex better too. And I feel like so many people just probably live on this surface level in their relationship. Like it's not deep. I'm not saying everyone's like this, but I just noticed it in my own relationship of, you know, this masculine. I feel like a lot of women are probably operating in their masculine because they're just doing so much all the fucking time and trying to, you know, and then you don't feel like having sex with your husband. You know, it's like you can't do it. Like you can't, I just realize you can't. And it does take effort. Your relationship takes work. Like we have this thing now and we call it Monday night, like where we sit down at dinner and because he's working with a coach too. And like where we talk about like the shit that we're working on and the deepest like parts of that. It's like a sharing like Monday night. And I really like it. I'm sure Craig
This. I'm like taking notes over here. This is great.
You know, where you like talk about like, you know, I've been telling him like, fuck, I'm just, you know, like going through this body image stuff with Greta. And I'm like, I still feel like there's some shit there, you know, like. And him talking about his not being good enough and his relationship with his father and his mother and, you know, like just these deep parts of yourself, like exposing this, you know, and it just makes you close. I feel like it's just deepened our connection. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm just really softening more and being more relaxed and just, you know, trusting more that things are going to work out rather than having to be in control of every little thing. Because when I'm in control, I'm safe. Kitty's safe. You know, but just learning all this stuff, like it's been the best. Like it's changed our relationship completely.
The needing to be in control, it's like a stress response that your body just wants to default to. And it takes a long time to tell your body that you're safe. It really does. It's like your brain wants to go back to what you've always done for so long, you know?
Greta's like, fucking, who's Kitty? Because like a lot of women I work with, they get into their 40s and 50s. They just don't know who they are without like, so she just asked me these questions. Who is Kitty without the body, without the business, without Craig? Who are you? Like, what do you love?
You're like, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, she's like, yeah, it's just these interesting questions. And I'm, you know, really I'm enjoying the journey of the exploration and, you know, like just, yeah, it's been hard, but I feel like we've, you know, she talks about these like having a conscious relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was really difficult, I think, for us at the start because we'd operated a certain way for so long. And now we've both made these big shifts now. And now it's becoming so much easier. And like we have conflict, we repair faster, our sex life is better, we communicate better. You know, it's just so, it's quite fascinating to me, actually. Like, because I've just been through this crazy 6 months. And then now things are, you know, and the business is, like the more I've sort of let go of control a bit, like the better things are doing and just relaxing a bit more and, you know, like focusing on the things that really matter. Whereas before, I think what I would do is just find ways to be busy, you know, and do shit that maybe wasn't really going to push the needle forward.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Women are great at that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been amazing. Check out my coach, Greta. She's the best.
I might. Yeah. I love that. Do you find that since you've kind of transitioned to this like concept of a more conscious relationship that you guys confront things quicker and more frequently versus letting shit go and sweeping under the rug and then exploding?
100%. And I would do that shit all the time. And Craig's really good now because he just fucking knows. He can see. He's like, we were chatting the other night and I something will happen and I'll be like, and I'll not withdraw, but he'll see. And he's like, I can see that there's something going on in your brain.
Yeah.
Tell me. And what would happen before too is I think he wasn't very good at, like, I think some men struggle, probably maybe a lot of men struggle with like really holding the female's emotions. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten so much better. He just sits there and holds space for me. And even if I'm having a fucking meltdown, and then with the way that he holds space and understands, and then that is, it's just made things so much better for us, I think.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's awesome. I know my husband made a comment recently. It was in regards to another couple we know that sometimes have arguments or tiffs. And he's like, it seemed like they fight a lot. He's like, we really never fight. And I'm like, not fighting is not necessarily a good thing. Like sometimes people that are willing to have a little argument or tension or, you know, disagreements, that's a sign of like being willing to confront stuff and not just like, oh, we're just going to let it go. And keep letting it go. Keep letting it go.
And then you're right, you explode. You explode. And I think one thing I've gotten better with too is like learning how to communicate. Like there's all these, like this art to this shit, you know, and it does work. Like when I do it, you know, I get a much better response from Craig, you know, before I'd probably try and blame him, you know, whereas I go in and just say, look, I'm feeling like this. This is how I'm feeling. Like instead of blaming him, and then he actually wants to try and help me, like he wants to try and step up and help me feel better or fix. No, not that sometimes it doesn't need to be fixed. He just needs to listen.
Yeah,
but he's so much better at holding the space for me.
Do you feel like in you having this kind of transformation, or I don't want to say awakening, but it's an
It was a fucking awakening.
Yeah,
it was awakening.
It is.
Totally.
It's an awakening, and it's like it's an evolution of you. Is this going to change or shape how you guys coach your female clients? Do you think you're going to incorporate some of this into what you're doing?
Yeah, 100%. Yep. Yeah. So Greta, already we're like, fucking, this shit's life-changing. Like,
Yeah.
And already, so Greta's doing sessions once a month with our coaches. Like we do like a training session. And then we're actually going to build some modules around this into this new program and for our coaching program.
Yeah.
And get her involved. Yeah. Because I feel like so many women are just stuck or in these relationships and they're stuck in this masculine, you know, and they don't know how to communicate with their husband and they just, you know, like I feel, or they self-sabotage.
The self-sabotage is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everyone's like me. Like I feel like I was a bit fucked, not fucked up is the right word, but I just think about like how I've operated for so long. Like Greta said, it's so like, she's like, you've done well, Kitty. You have had all these things happen, but you've managed to find a much healthier way to, you know, you found eat the more food, do the strength training. But yeah, it's just, it's been so interesting.
Yeah. Like the mindset piece is huge.
Yeah. We totally went off tangent there. Sorry.
No, I honestly, like this was a great tangent. I love this. I think a lot of people listening are going to totally relate and get a lot out of it. Maybe they'll be hitting up your coach, Greta.
Maybe. And you know what I think too? Like, it's like you get the body, but you're not necessarily going to be happy.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, you can get rid of the hot flashes and the weight and improve the energy and the brain fog and all that stuff is really important. Those are very tangible, measurable things. But you're totally right. If the mindset and nervous system component is not caught up, you're still going to be searching for the next thing that you need to freaking fix. I see that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like I feel like, I mean, it's so early in my journey. It's only 6 months. You know, we're still going, we're still exploring and still, but it's good.
I love that. Is she in Australia or in the States?
She's in the States. Yeah, she's the fucking best. Like I've referred so many people to her, like two of my coaches are working with her. My sister my sister's working with her because my sister's got the same issues as me. But so basically my sister just transferred it onto people and I transferred it onto men. So she's like the very people pleasing, you know, really pushes herself in a job, same thing, not enough, not enough. And just working with Greta, like she's had amazing results so far already, even just working with her.
Wow. I love that. Well, thank you for sharing all this. This was awesome. It's great to have you on.
Thank you for listening to the Fueled and Free podcast. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Learn more at margaretannpowell.com and follow me on Instagram at margaretannpowell.